Good evening, Aboisai. Being the Yahrzeit of the Chofetz Chaim tonight, and learning and having the opportunity, the schus of learning the Chofetz Chaim's words every day, I wanted to share with you a thought of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's interesting about the Chofetz Chaim. It is very interesting. It is really, if we just step back for a second and we think about the incredible, incredible kach of the Halakha Chofetz Chaim, he besol mea koin. So what's the so what is exactly the how did the Chofetz Chaim, his words are the ultimate? The Chazon Ish writes that he was the Posek Achron, and so the Chazon Ish writes that the Chofetz Chaim was the Posek Achron. He's the last, he's the final real Posek. Anybody after that can just quote or opine or something, but the real last posik, Chazon Ish says, was Chofetz Chaim, and it's incredible to think about the. We don't have anybody else like that that is undisputed as the. Of course, there's sometimes machlokes in the word. You know, of Shemizam will have an opinion on Chofetz Chaim, on the Mishnah Berurah, or sometimes you'll have a Chazon Ish who disagrees. But as a whole, to have such a unit of a posik that. He's just so, you know, it's rare. Yes, 200 years before the Chayodom, but again, the Chayodom was only in some communities. It wasn't so global like the Chofetz Chaim. It's quite unbelievable. What is it that made the Chofetz Chaim so unchallenged, nearly unchallenged, and it's incredible. I mean, you have from the Chassidim, the Chofetz Chaim. Embrace the Chofetz Chaim like the Litvishers and the Yakis. I davened once in a Mizrahi shul, and they're learning Chofetz Chaim like everybody else, and it's really incredible. Sfardim, everybody, of course, they'll twist it a bit like this, twist it, they'll tweak a bit according to their minhagim. But on the whole, you've got a unit of a sefer on Orech Chaim, which everybody agrees. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says something very interesting. I'd like to. There's two observations. One observation is that the Chofetz Chaim was zoicha for that. So it was zoicha to this incredible power and authority in Psak, because what? Yeah, that's right. His first many years, he spent his life on Shmir Zaloshin. I don't mean the safer Shmir Zaloshin and Chofetz Chaim, but also generally the work. He was so bothered about Yidden speaking Loshin. He was so bothered about it, and he spent so much time and energy. So they're not speaking Lashon Hara, and about this, and he was so incredibly careful himself. And because his speech was so careful, and he ensured and encouraged others also that their speech to be so careful. So Rabbi Yaakov, it's not my word. It's Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says he was so careful about his words that gives that his own words are so pure and so powerful, and so it's because he was carefully selecting his own words verbally and in the sefer that he gives it such power. I think it's a beautiful thought, because he was so careful with his own words, the choice of his words, that gave it such an incredible power. That's a back for next, but I want to say something else. That's my own observation. It's an own observation that could be disputed. So I think what's very interesting about the Chofetz Chaim is that if you look at most achroinim, many achroinim, historically, most of them come from Mishpachas HaMiuchasas BeYisrael. I mean, Chassam Sofer, his father-in-law was a Rebbe Eger. I mean, you know, it comes from families of pure rabbinical families. Many Mishpachas come like Doiris, there's like Rabbonim, Gdolim, Dayonim. Some Mishpachas are privileged to be leading, I'm saying, families of Torah and Yichas. Like the Gemara says that if there's the three doiras of Torah, then the chain is can't be broken. That's what the Gemara says. Chofetz Chaim, his father was he was a Yosem, but I mean it's public knowledge. His father wasn't any particular. His wife, he got married to his stepfather's daughter by pretty much by mistake. I mean that was only just didn't want to offend his you know the Chofetz Chaim's why I got. Chofetz Chaim's own shidduch, his own wife, his first wife was because he was the best bocha in yeshiva, and his mother got remarried, and to a very posh man, very nice, but a very simple man, and he was so excited that his wife's son was such a mutzlach, such a special Talmud? And he said, you know what, I've got a daughter and you've got a son, so why don't they get married? And which, besides the fact that it's very unconventional, it's not really done, but his wife, his new wife was too uncomfortable telling her new husband that it's not really done. And then the shidduch was made, and he only found out, like it was common in those days, he found out when he came home ben hazmanim, that he was engaged to his step. He was like, you know, and that was, I think, just before his parents got married. It was like the details, I don't know exactly, but it was pretty much, so he got married, and the only reason why I didn't want to get this engaged was, they were very poor, they were very, very poor. And he was actually looking forward to getting it. He was hoping to make a shidduch, which would enable him to carry on learning, but not with this financial backing. So he was advised by one of the gedolim that he should actually break the shidduch. But he didn't. He couldn't have the heart to break the shidduch because he knew that she's not going to be able to get engaged so quickly again. So he went on for the shidduch and he got married. And because of that, he always said himself that his success in Torah was because of her. She knew her saga. She didn't know what. She was so poor. She never expected him to bring home any money. He was so incredibly poor. He said that was ultimately the bracha, because had he married anybody with bigger hasogas from a rich house or something, then it could be that Chofetz Chaim and the Mishneh Berurah never would have been born. It was only because she was absolutely clueless from such poverty. So he said that because of that, ultimately there was a great bracha. Anyway, he was from a very, very simple, there was no Torah, no Gdula, and Chofetz Chaim somehow just carried on working on himself his whole life. It was just one big shtick. One big shtick, avoid is Hashem. And you know what? That's something which I am saying, an observation, my own personal observation. When you learn a Chofetz Chaim, when you learn a Mishneh Berurah and you learn a Bi'alocha, you rarely see, you know, when you sometimes learn a Bikveger, you see, oh, what? You're blown away by this goyness, this pikchus, this is like incredible. You're blown away by this. You know, sometimes you see an Achen, you see sometimes the Chazanish, and you like, opens up the whole sugya, and you don't see that in the Mishneh Berurah and in the Bi'alocha so often. He was just like plowing through the sugyas, plowing and working, and just the whole time work and work and work, and comparing and learning and doing chazor and doing everything 30 times. And that's the Halakha of Chofetz Chaim. And I think that if there's one person of the last century that can show us what it means, proper, pure, just Adam le'omol yulad, and just keeping on, despite all, without any background privileges, it's the Chofetz Chaim, I think. I think that's what's the persona of the Chofetz Chaim is teaching us. Does that make sense a bit? There was no yichus there. It's interesting that there's no yichus later on after either. The Chofetz Chaim, it was like one person. There was no father, grandfather, great grandfather there, and also the late. A little bit, but you wouldn't have expected it. You know, some of the grand. Yeah, he came, yes, I know, and he had some nice stories. He was on the lap of the Chofetz Chaim, and he remembers being sitting on the lap, he told me. But ultimately, there isn't, so that's, it's something to think about. Okay. Simen Shin Chof, Sif Yud Dalet. So we learned about the snow, and we learned more about, about the this diluting and being merasek snow, and Sif Yud Dalet, which is the top of page, Kuf Mevav tells us, Rami Rottenburg, the Remeim Rottenburg tells us, Matir lehatil mireglaim b'shelek, he allows to be matir mireglaim, to urinate in snow. He says this is permitted, v'arosh oyoniza, the Rosh ever does say that it is also. The Mishneh Berurah explains both opinions. Sifkot Memi says on the second line, Matir lehatil, do me the doyre shelek b'raglov, the opinion that forbids it is because ultimately you are, the snow will become like water, and like we found earlier, there is an issue of noilat and being merasik. So here too, the same issue should apply. However, the Rosh is matir because he says in Sifkot Memale Voyonizo Shalit Hashetin Vadani Moach. The other hand, Maram Rottenburg is matir. And the Rosh asks it, and because the Shetan Nevadin Moach, that's the opinion all the way around. Now the Mishneh Berurah also says that Lemaisa we can be Mekel, V'ayim B'tansha Pasuk L'Hokel, and he brings many Achronim who are Matir. So Halach Lemaisa, although normally Stam v'yesh oimrim, we normally that we go with a second opinion. Here we lemaisa we are matir, and it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is his maskana is that it is mutar. Where is that? So in principle, he's matir. Siv tezvov. Also, for a sudor al piachovis. He moves on now to the next scenario. To spread a sudor al piachovis. This is a sheet. To spread a sheet on a barrel. Velitin al gabo vakli. And to place on this a kli, a vessel. Shedoilim boy, that you draw water from that kli which is on top of it. So you've got a chovis, a barrel. You put on the barrel a sheet. On top of the barrel, you put a sheet. And on that sheet, you put a cliche doiling boy. You put a barrel that you take, not a barrel, to take water from, to draw water from. It's from a bucket. Yeah, basically a bucket, yeah. So you put a bucket on top of that. Shemoyovoli de schita. You're not allowed to put it on top because perhaps you're going to end up squeezing this sudo, this sheet. Avol, but begged also, leave for yourself of mutter. But if you've got a very specific sheet, cloth, that is normally placed on top of the barrel, that is permitted to spread over it, mutter, because there is no chashash schita. Nishtabu explains over here what goes on in Sifkot Membez, this is chita. Sheyizchoit asudah min ha-mayim, shenivlu bo al-yedei ha-kli. Because if you were to put a kli over this sheet, which is spread over the barrel, if you put something on top of it, that could end up, you're going to end up squeezing at the end. And if you squeeze, you're going to end up doing melabein. It is talking about it's talking about a barrel being empty. If the barrel has something in it, then spreading it itself is going to be schita. If you put a sheet over it, you're going to end up doing schita anyway. So talking about empty, but even if it's empty, by putting it on top, you're spreading the sheet and you're putting it on top of it, would end up, you're perhaps going to end up doing schita. And therefore it also, if it's something which is specifically designed for that, then it is going to be mutza. Okay, what it is that it is, the way I picture myself is you've got a barrel, and you'd spread a sheet over the barrel. That sheet normally would absorb some of the liquid, and it's the kind of, because if you have a sheet on top. Pardon? Yeah, it probably is touching liquid. Well, we're going to see. Well, let's hold on for a second. Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah says that it is talking about if it's empty, but it is the sheet on top. Now, the issa that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, he's telling us, you are not allowed to put a bucket on top of that. You're not allowed to put a bucket on top of that. And the words are that also for sudr al piachovis, you're not allowed to put a sudr sheet on top of a barrel. Velitin al gab of kli, and to put on top of that a bucket, shedoilim boy, that normally you draw a bucket, you're not allowed to put it. Shem olav yovud schita, because you might end up doing schita on the sheet which is underneath it. Havol begit also lifo is olav, but if it's something which is very specifically designed to spread underneath it, that would be mutter. She'eini chosh olav lesochta, because then you're not going to end up squeezing. So the Mishnah Berurah says that in Sifkot Membeis, lidei schita shiyischoit asudah min ha-mayim shenivlu bo al-yedei ha-kli. If you put a bucket on top of it, it will get wet. It will get wet. It will, the bucket which is full of water will get wet. V'soichet beget chay mishum melabein, and therefore there's a chashash that if you're going to put this top the bucket on top of it, you're going to end up, you may end up squeezing the sud underneath it. But it does say, "Ma'ir shoyse chaviz rekonis," but the barrel underneath it is empty, because otherwise you'd anyway have a problem. Yeah. Siv tezayin. Also lahadik moichin befi pach sheish by mashkin mishum schita. It is also to be mahadek moichin. Moichin are rag shmatas. You're not allowed to put in shmatas befi pach sheish by mashkin. If you've got a kind of pach like a keli, and you're putting in, that has a hole, and you're squeezing inside it some shmatas in that keli which has liquid in it, that will be also mishum schita because schita. So imagine if you've got a kind of a vessel, and it's got a hole, an opening, to now take a shmata and to squeeze it into that hole. That is also because of chashas tchita. I'm repeating. Also, lahadik moichin, you're allowed to take shmatas pefi in the opening pach sheish by mashkin in this small vessel which has liquid inside it. Meshum sechita because of sechita. So if kot mem dalat in mishnebu, lahadik. Humayra is talking about kshem lachin min hamashkin shebesoich hakli. Obviously, we're talking about squeezing in those shmatas. If we're saying that it's also, must be that the shmatas that you're squeezing are wet. What are they wet from? From the liquid inside it. Even if the shmatas are specifically designed for this kli, nevertheless, it is also. Because when you are squeezing in these shmatas, cold over ach, anything which is soft, go in some again from cotton wool, matnes, but anything which is soft, besoich biapach, when you're squeezing it in, it's going to do, bole de schita, you're going to do schita, which she told us libun, which is told us libun. Right, now, va'afilu la'asevin b'sham mashkin chutz men embu yimshimelam, but even according to the authorities a whole, that if it's water, there is schita, but if it's not water, there is no schita. Because makom nevertheless, also it's also shiyotze mashki abalu aboy, because the absorbed liquid is going to go out of it. V'noifel esoich hapachin is going to go back into the vessel. V'avim chaldi shekom esoich etzaisim vanov. When it is, you're doing schita lemaisa. V'av sheni mischav and zel tot anom may not be your intention. Because makom psireishu is still a psireishu. So aboy say, you have got a container, which has a hole, and you're taking tissues, you're taking shmata, you're taking it, and you're squeezing into that hole, that is also. Why is it also? Because since that shmata will have absorbed some liquid, by squeezing it in, what's going to happen? Liquid is going to go back internally, and that is chita, that is also. Schita, yes. So generally, schita is a tolda of yes, it is of dosh. Here it is talking about melaben. What the Mishnah Berurah means. Yes, I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I didn't notice it, but I think what he means is that it's not directly told of libun, because I think that he means that there is an additional element of it. Besoich piapach boli de schita. She told us libun the canal. I don't know. It's a good how. I'm not sure. I cannot answer your question. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. So Rabbi Sai, I think this is very relevant for our days as well. That basically tells us you've got to be careful with using a shmata. Using any, whenever you're trying to squeeze something into any material, trying to squeeze something, that's going to be also on Shabbos. I was thinking of a case. I couldn't think of something. But when do we use a mopping up? Yeah. So, although, let us be clear, you're raising a good point, although really absorbing liquid is never also. When you're absorbing, there's never schita in there. Contrary to popular belief, when you have a spill of something, and you're taking a shmata and you're putting it in there, that is not schita. Because absorbing liquid is not also. Here it is not also because you're absorbing. Here it is also, absorbing is not also. It is because you are doing an action which will absorb and it will get squeezed out. If I knew for a fact it wouldn't squeeze out, it would be a problem. If I know it's going to remain, that it's just absorbing and it's not going to get squeezed out, it will be mutter. Absorbing liquid is not a problem. If I'm putting it out, it's going to get squashed and the liquid is going to go out. Yes. So that's that. But to put tissue somewhere and it gets absorbed, to put a shmata something or a towel somewhere, which is absorbing the liquid, that is mutter lekarades. It's only once you're putting it somewhere, that's going to have or you're holding it tightly. Yeah. Now this is talking about a sponge. And that is actually leading directly for what we mentioned. Sfoik ein mekanchin boy, to wipe. Sfoik a sponge, ein mekanchin, you're not to wipe with a sponge. Elohim kein, unless yesh boy beis achiza, there is a handle. Because perhaps otherwise you're going to end up doing schita. So here it is. We're learning now a sponge. It is you're not allowed to use. And he's talking about sifkot memvav. He tells us memkanchin as a tavlo is like a plate. So that would you take a sponge and and the action you're doing is not just pure absorption because that's mutter. But you're taking this sponge and you are cleaning it. That is also. You may not intentionally want and wish to squeeze, but inevitably that's what's going to happen. So to use a sponge is also, unless he's got a base achiza, which means a handle. Why is it different if there's a handle? What does it help? Mishnah Berurah explains that if there is Elohim Kain, Sivkot Memchas explains, Memzan explains that the Kivin Jesper base achiza, Avalekitzloichis Melo, Maim Shemerik Meno Maim. He says, because if he's got a handle, Pesach is avlekitzloichis meleo maim shemerik meno maim. What I think, what it's talking about, although it's machloik is showing him, but I think what it's talking about is that if it's got a sponge, if it's got a handle, it will come a situation that it's only used, it's the handle makes it, that you're using it only in situations, it is something which is used constantly only when there's a lot of liquid. The halacha is, if you're using something only in a situation, in a situation where there is liquid, you use a sponge in the water, that would be the mushal. If you're taking a sponge and you're using the sponge in the water and you are squeezing it in the water, the halacha is that it is? No. In the water. In the water, there won't be an issa. If you are squeezing in the water, so it is constantly absorbed water and it's constantly with water. So there's no issa. I think what he's talking about is that kshiyesh lo beis achiza, v'leketzloichis melo maim shmeigo mana. If there is a handle, I believe it will be a situation that it's only used with a great quantity of water and therefore it's going to be mutter. But otherwise, a sponge is also. So to just use a sponge to wipe a plate or to clean something off remains also. Yeah. That's stuck it true, yeah. Okay, let's see if you'd sign, as if you'd chess. Chovet shepoku bepkak shel pishton. Listom nekev shebedofno shemetzin b'ayayin, yeish mishimatia. So, chovet shepoku bepkak shel pishton. What this is talking about is a chovet is a barrel that there was a hole in that barrel. Now, what do you do if you've got a barrel with a hole? You put some linen in there, you stuff it with some linen. Chovish b'pkak shel linen, b'pkak shel pishna linen, listom nekev, shebedofno shemetzin b'ayayin, to squeeze in this, to hole, to make the hole waterproof, by squashing in some linen, that is, says the Shulchan Aruch, yesh mi shematir, some allow it. Half of pisha yevsh shelo yischelu, you are probably, it's a psikesh, you are going to squeeze it, there will be something in that, but it's mutter. V'u shelo yetach tov kli, but that's only as long as there is no plate underneath it, which is going to absorb and get hold of the liquid. It's just a psikesha. You don't have any benefit from it, and therefore it's muta. So we're talking about a barrel. Imagine a barrel which has a hole. Here we're learning to put in, to stuff the holes with some linen. That's fine. As long as you're not going to be able to, the water leaks out. Everything leaks out, and you're not going to save the liquid because it's not going to go on a plate or anything. It's just going to go on the floor. Then it's true that it's a psikesha, but it's enemies chavon. It's a psikesha nichal. You're not interested in it, and therefore it's mutter because it's going completely ibut. Because over there the situation is that the liquid of this pach will go back into the keli, and therefore the squeezing, the schita, will benefit you. It's going to be more liquid. As opposed to the case over here, it is that by squashing the linen, you are protecting water coming out. And if there is something which is going to come out, it will leak out. It will leak out and you're losing it. Therefore, even if it is a psikesha, but you're not gaining from it. Okay, so we covered tonight the halachas of being mashten according to the Maram Rotenburg. It is mutter, the Rosh asks it. We spoke about the Suda scenario of the bucket on top, which is mutar. We spoke about the shmatas into the opening of the pach, which we learned that it is also. We spoke about the sponge is also to use, although because you're absorbing and it will inevitably also cause chita. If there's a base achize, it's mutar. And then finally, we spoke about the barrel of wine, that if you want to put some linen there, that's mutar, because you are not, you're not gaining any benefit from the liquid which is coming out. Okay, good evening.